Or would somebody fit it to you and make sure that it fit well?
Yeah, and alterations could be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Jerry would do the fitting and
He would do the
then his
fitting, the
mom would do the
measuring. Yeah,
sewing.
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a well-known shop. It was people would just come in the morning and stand around. There was always a certain few that would come in and say hello. And then there was a three-way mirror down there. It's still there. And I wished it wasn't so cluttered because it was always kept clean. There was always little kids' fingerprints and stuff, but they always kept it clean. And I got a picture of one of my grandchildren standing in that three-way mirror. But it was great. I mean, and I today people will say, that was such a great mirror. You stood there in the middle, and you had one here, here, and here, and you could see all sides of you. And it was an old, I'm sorry, I can't think of his name. He was a very dapper man, and every day he would come in and take the whisk broom and stand in the three-way mirror and do the front of himself. What the heck was his name? And then he'd ask Jerry to brush off the back.
What exactly is a
And
whisk broom? I've heard of that
a whisk
before.
broom?
Yeah.
A whisk broom was small and. Wait 1 minute, then you can describe it.
Okay, I press pause. So a whisk broom was a little broom, and then you would brush your suit off
Yeah,
each day?
that man did every day.
It's so funny. So was that the only three-way mirror in town?
Oh, I can't say that. No, I can't say that. That was the one that had a door. Behind the door was a safe, and it's still there. Safe is still there.
Oh. Did the
There
customers
was a bank
know?
at one time downstairs.
Okay.
The store was a bank. And there was a twin one in Withy's drugstore, which is Danny's Market. And they were kind of back to back. And I could hear when he would close that door and put the latch through, I could hear it up here 3 flights and know he'd be up for dinner pretty soon. Yeah.
And so men would hang out in this store
Oh,
all
yeah.
together. And what do you think they talked about down there? Just
Cooperstown.
Cooperstown.
Daily life in Cooperstown. Who did what in Cooperstown?
It's kind of a gathering
Politics.
place. Oh, politics. So when did Jerry become the mayor?
It's the worst part today. I was thinking, I was hoping Paul would call me. I think he was mayor for 6 years. And I know he was mayor when his mother died. And he was also mayor when my mother was so sick, so it was in the 70s. I'm sorry, but I think he was mayor for 6 years.
Oh, wow. And
He was at that time the longest running mayor, and there was a union ticket before that, so it would be like one time the Democrats would be mayor and the next time be a Republican. It would go back and forth. So there was a little upset, and he was the first one where there was the two tickets, two people running for mayor. And he had quite a large margin and became mayor of Cooperstown.
so what was the election like? Did he go around and tell people he was running for mayor, or?
Yeah, there was people that kind of put up signs for him. Yeah, and it's a small town. So as Jerry said, he kind of liked the union ticket because he said you can say so many good things about yourself, and you don't want to say bad things about your friend. And usually, the two people that would be running would know each other way back then.
And so they were friends.
And it would be people that were probably in Cooperstown most of their life. And I think at that time, I think I got an increase once, and it was $1,000 for being the mayor for the year.
So what were his duties as mayor? What did he do?
Oh, dear. Wished he was here. Well, almost everything. We didn't have as many committees as you have now. So the responsibility was pretty much on the mayor and the village board, and they did work together. They worked together. I don't think I can say much more than that. I don't think there was... I don't know. We had some pretty smart men on there, and we had one, Mayor Hollis. He was mayor before Jerry. And his wife was a teacher. He was a very, very intelligent man. And he set up some kind of fund which took care of the streets and things like that, that for a little town, they were able to do things. Infrastructure right now in Cooperstown is, well, they're working on the streets right now, and it's going to cost an awful lot to do it.
So how has that changed? Because, you know, Cooperstown...
Well, how has it changed? Too many committees, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how much opinion you want me to put on this, but I just think there's too many committees. There's a committee for this, committee for that, committee. And I think a lot of the committees, I think, comes down to their personal opinion. Well, maybe I don't like this. Maybe I don't like that. Well, I mean, I definitely think, definitely, I am for codes. I mean, we're very lucky in Cooperstown that we don't have what a lot of these towns have had and ruined their architecture by changing it. And, well, example, Oneana Brzees, who put up this aluminum and on the front, now it's being taken down. I see historic. They're working on that to save that building. Sissons went ahead and put up this big aluminum siding on it, and that has been taken down. I'm glad to see a lot of codes in Cooperstown, but I don't want to see the codes become personal opinion. Do it for the good of the town, not because you don't like the looks of something. And I truly believe sometimes that's a hindrance to some of the committees.
So this building has never had the aluminum siding on the front or anything?
No.
Why is that? Why does the building look like this?
Well, this has been on, oh my gosh, this has been on the historic preservation list. Probably, I'm trying to think, I would say close to 30 years, well, more than that.
So does that probably affect what you can do? One. If you ever
oh, yes.
to do anything?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Would you ever want it to do something and you've been told you can't?
I would never change the front of it. I think I've been pretty good about keeping the painting and... I know it was funny for a while, that one picture that you looked at. If you notice there, maybe we lost it. Yeah, we did.
The picture
one
of the
half, yeah, well, yeah. Is it right in here? Oh, come on. There it is.
Okay.
If you look at that, you'll see one half is painted different.
Oh, yes. So one half's white,
okay.
And one half's dark.
Right. So apparently, and it was when Withy's had it, and they weren't wrong in doing this, because they went to the Historical Association. Somewhere along the line, they thought the whole building was painted white. Well, we always saw it as this color. We never saw it as the others.
It's the dark.
And at that time, Jerry's dad he had passed away. Jerry's mother was kind of in charge. And I know they went and asked if she wanted to paint the side of the building. And she had said no, that she didn't want to change it right at that time. And then after Jerry's mother died, and then we wanted to paint the building, and then we went back, and they decided to go back to this instead of the all white. And we went ahead and we came back to this color. So if you look, you'll see. But you'll
still. So now it's all dark.
Well, if you still look up, you'll see that side needs a painting.
Oh.
And mine doesn't need the painting.
How often do you get yours painted?
See, I had it done. I probably had it painted maybe 4 years ago.
Okay. And not on that side, though.
It wasn't done at that time. Okay. I'm sure it will be eventually. But
yes. So
it's fun having two people own one building, kind of. And right now, if you remember the green and white awnings that were there?
Yes.
Well, it's going to be changed.
Okay.
I hated those green and white awnings. And I always liked them. We always had the black and gray or black and white, because I always thought it looked sharp with this building. So when Witsy sold that and it was turned into Danny's Market, a green and white awning was put up, because originally Danny's Market, which would have been down just about where Newberry's is, always had a green and white awning. So they decided Danny's Market should have a green and white awning. Well, at the time, the fellow that was renting from me, Doug Walker, was in business with Richard Bird. And he said, we're going to have a green and white awning. And I said, I don't want a green and white awning. And he said, well, Joan, he said, I think it should look the same as the other side. I said, but I don't own the other side. I own this side. So he said, well, I'll pay for the awning if we can have the green and white. I said, okay. So now that's going back. That awning's been up maybe 18 years, 19. And every day I've hated that green and white awning. Well, it's time to have a new awning. So I said something downstairs. I said, this time, I said, I'm going to get a new awning. I said, what about next door? I said, well, if they want to get an awning, they can get one. But I said, I'm going to have a black and gray awning. He said, Joan, don't you think it should look the same? And I said, it would be nice if it's the same. But I said, I hate the green and white, and I've had it all this time, and now I want black and gray. So anyway, we went next door, and we're both, they took down the awnings 2 days ago, and we're both having a black and gray awning put up on both sides, so it really will look nice.
It's and
nice.
When Clark's was there, so it was black and gray. Oh, yeah. How wonderful.
Yeah, so it's going back to black and gray. And I think the building is so beautiful, I think black and gray is much prettier than the green and white. Mm-hmm. And even the awning guy said, I said, I hate this green and white. He said, I do too. He says, I even hate to sell green and white. So we should have a new awning up before Christmas.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So with the building, you were talking about that safe. Is it still down there behind mm-hmm. the mirror?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's
behind
amazing.
The mirrors. Yeah.
And so did you guys ever have a burglary or anything? Nobody ever knew about the safe?
No, we didn't. Withy's, who was owned by Hank Phillips and Ed Badgley, who are very, very dear friends and still dear friends, they had somebody break in. And then they also had a deer go in their store.
And their safe is connected to your safe?
They took their safe out.
Okay.
Theirs is gone.
Okay. And the deer got in there?
Yeah. But the funny part of it is a lot of things down in the store. First National Bank. I think this story, I think, is from my brother. brother-in-law, Bill Clark. And there was a little dressing room in the back, and that dressing room came from the National Bank, which was closing up in 1930s. And I said, it doesn't say anybody. He said he remembers bringing that stuff over from the bank. And then there was a tiny little lavatory down there. It just had a sink in it. And that was supposed to be a phone booth from the bank. And now both of those are gone because they needed the space. They took those down. I mean, it might have been historic. And then the fixtures in the store came from a clothing store, I believe, in Albany that was going out of business.
Wow.
And they're beautiful. You have to stop in and see some of those fixtures. And that's one thing when I rent it, I don't. The fixtures stay. You don't. Beautiful. Oak.
That's great. So, was it hard for Jerry to work both at the store and be the mayor?
No, not at that time. He was able because he lived on Main Street.
Okay.
And because of the business, people would come in, and he would go down every morning down to the village offices. And no, it wasn't hard for him. He found the time, and I think it's just like Joe Bowen right now, that's mayor, is finding the time, and he's got a job. Most mayors had jobs. I mean, you couldn't live on $1,000. Well, that was pretty good, though. The mayor before that didn't even get that much.
What about for you? What was it like to be married to a mayor? You know, did people treat you differently?
No, because Jerry was very low-keyed. He was not the one to be riding in the cars, and that wasn't Jerry. Jerry was anybody could come in. There were certain ceremonies that he did, like Hall of Fame, because he loved baseball. I seem to be talking more about the store and him, but he loved baseball. He was the American Legion state chairman for baseball. And that's another whole story, and a good story. It's a wonderful story. We had teams come in from all over, and some of the teams we put down at the Betts Club, and they would bring sleeping bags, and then they'd play over at Doubleday Field, and that was good times.
Do you like baseball?
Did I? Oh, yeah.
And so how were you involved in that?
How was I involved? Well, both boys played baseball. So you went to, we had two of them in baseball at one time. One was in Little League, and the other one had moved up. So you'd go to one game, and then you ran and got to another game. And people still do that. They still do it here in Cooperstown. I don't think any of that has changed. I really don't. Little League is still pretty good. And I don't think the small town stuff has changed too much. Only maybe the kids don't get out as much because I think they have more homework. I think they're hooked to their computers and their games. And I don't know if kids nowadays would know what Cowboys and Indians are or how to play it.
Mm-hmm.
They used to go over and play Cowboys and Indians Doubleday Field in the state and the bleachers.
Well, how about the change of the buildings? I know that next door, there's a park now. What used to be there?
Well, there was Freeman's Journal was there. It happened on a Friday night in 1963. I had my hair all up in curlers. And Friday night, Jerry had stopped down at the Betts Club after work. And somebody came up and saw flames at the Freeman's Journal. And next thing you know, the fire alarm went off.
Was it the fire alarm in your house or the...
No, the big fire alarm. And oh, at wow. that time, we had like blasts, like two blasts meant one street, three meant another. So you knew where the fires were. Everybody had a list of, it's on Nelson Avenue, it's on Elm Street, wherever. And the one was Main Street. And I was looking out the window just as Jerry came in. He said, Joan, he said, "I what's going on?" And he said, "Let's get the kids." He said, "Wake up the kids and let's get them out." And I said, "What?" He said, "There's a fire next door." And with that, I'm looking out the window. A big puff of smoke went by the window. So we got both of them up and we got out. And, that was a bad night. That was a bad, and it was cold, and there was ice on fire escapes. And Jerry's mother and brother came down to the store. Peter was going on, he was two. And we went to the Glimmer Glass, which is now Nicoletti's. And we had good friends there because we knew everybody on Main Street. And we went in there, and I remember them getting the kids. They got Peter milk. Paul had a soda. I remember that. And then I said it was time to get out. And one of our friends took myself and the boys out to my mother and dad's place. And then I got work. There wasn't any cell phones at that time, but we got a phone call that one of the firemen had fallen into the next building. So, and then we got word that he hadn't. But what they did is the fire department, because this building was higher than the other building, they brought all the hoses up through the building, through the first floor, up the stairway, to the apartment, up another stairway to the attic, and then from an attic, another stairway onto the roof. And all these fire hoses went all the way up.
Right through your building.
And right through the building, right through the apartment and up. And they played the fire from the roof on down. And one of the firemen, and he's passed away now, Alton Dunn, a good friend, he thought there was like a ledge, and he went to step on the ledge. Somebody just grabbed him, or he would have fallen into the fire. People were helping. Jerry's mother just got all the gloves and scarves and stuff out of the store and kept giving them to the firemen, and because it was so cold, their gloves were getting wet and everything. And to this day, I think it was Bud Ballard, and that's the one I would have given you the name to interview. He says, Joan, he says, "I remember that." He said, "I remember Mrs. Clark handing out all that stuff," he said, "for the firemen." Then there was a lady, and I won't give her name. But she kept walking around with drinks, thought that would warm the firemen up. Well, alcohol doesn't really warm you up. It'll mix it worse. But and the firemen, they were good. They had to refuse that. But that lady kept saying, "It'll warm you up. It'll warm you up." You know, and that was kind of a funny story. So we had no damage, but a little smoke damage. Until Sunday, and the fire was out Sunday, and they were taking all the apparatus out. Well, they went upstairs, and the hose, the nozzles are very, very heavy. So they undid the nozzle from the hose, put that on a long rope, and we're going to drop it down to the side of the building. And then they took the open hose and threw it down into the transom, which went into the attic. And then somebody said, okay, let her go, meaning the nozzle was going to be lowered down. But the guy on the fire hydrant thought he meant turn the fire hydrant on. And they turned the fire hydrant on, and the hose was pointed into the attic. And Jerry and I were cleaning out the refrigerator because the smoke smell, we wouldn't have been able to stay here until we got it cleared out. And I said, Jerry, I hear water. And with that, the water was coming through all the doorways. And then I yelled, running down the stairs, and I'm yelling, turn the fire hydrant off, turn it off. And later on, everybody said, they never heard a word from me during the fire, but that I was screaming the whole time, turn the hydrant off, turn the hydrant off. Now, I had kidded the firemen when they came up to get their hose off the attic roof. And I said, boy, you guys, I said, you're really good. I said, you didn't get any water down here. I said, the only damage we've got is smoke damage. They didn't even want to come down off the roof. The ones that were up there, they didn't want to come down and face Jerry and I. Jerry's mother called up. She said, I've got dinner ready. Where are you two? Jerry was sweeping the water out and down the stairs. And when we told her, she said, well, hurry up because the dinner's getting cold.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny then. And to this day, they'll never tell me who opened that hydrant. They all know, but nobody would tell us. We said, who was on the hydrant? And they won't tell us.
Were they all volunteer firefighters?
Oh, it is all volunteer.
Okay.
Probably got the best fire department around.
Yeah.
An emergency squad, and that's another thing. And again, we got to thank Jane Clark for a lot with the fire department. She's bought a lot of equipment, and she does a lot of good.
Okay. So the entire building burned down next door.
They took it. They, none of it was able to be saved. So they did have Pelnick's wrecking crew come in, and there was a big ball that took it down, and then it was made into a park.
Do you know how the fire started?
They never really did know. They really knew whether, they just didn't know how it started, but it started in the newspaper office in the back. Yeah, that was not a very good night.
Yeah, so that night it must have been really scary.
Well, I didn't want to... when I left, it was pretty scary. And I remember one of my friends was carrying... Paul, Jerry stayed in town, but I got out with the boys. But we kept getting the reports back. And yeah, so the boys... My boys stayed with my mother and dad for about 4 days. And then I came back and cleaned and... It was crazy.
When did they decide to turn that into a park instead of rebuild the building?
Year, I'm not sure. Once they cleaned it up and everything, actually, I'm not quite sure. I think it was bought by the Clarks, given to the village. It was a foundation. But if the village ever wanted to sell any of it, I think they had to have permission of the Clarks. But it belongs to the village. But so there's stipulations on it.
Your wall had no damage, though, even though you were connected to the building?
Oh, yeah. We had to put up a netting. It's a wire netting. And then, like, stucco on the side of the building.
Wow. Have there been any other fires since you've been on Main Street?
Yeah. That's why I have a scanner, because years ago you knew when we had a fire on Main Street, and now you don't know because the whistle just goes off, and that's why I have a scanner. So if there's a fire on Main Street in the middle of the night, I want to know it. And where was the dry cleaners? There was a fire there. There was a little dress shop. There was fire there. Trying to think, the firemen just kind of got away when the window blew out in one of those stores. Jerry and I happened to be in Florida, the only vacation we ever took, when my son called us and said that the Doubleday restaurant, they had a fire over there. And Bill was still alive at that time. It was Jerry's brother. He called Paul, my son, in Syracuse. And Paul said he was so upset, he didn't know what to do. It was a windy night, and there was a lot of sparks and things. And he was down in the store, and he said, Paul, he said, you should see it. And I guess the flames were really bad over there, reached quite high into the sky. And the poor guy, he didn't know whether to come up here and get anything out and what to do. But eventually they got it out, and we were very lucky that none of the buildings caught on fire. Oh. And the only reason that all of Main Street was saved on this side in 1963 was the elevation difference between this building and the buildings that burned. This was high enough and stopped the fire. So the ironclad saved part of Cooperstown.
That's great.